as in the Bible, as David's life comes to its conclusion, he talks about what he wants to be remembered for. And he doesn't mention being remembered as a great warrior or as a mighty king. He wants to be remembered as a singer of songs for the Lord. So thank you, Ginger, for being a singer of songs for the Lord. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. It begins here, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the Lord, disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this time we can gather together to sing your praise and hear your word. And we pray you bless both and help us to hear and respond as you call us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Saul had believed Jesus was dead, but now he confronts him alive. And he realizes that Jesus is Messiah. And so he bows in body and spirit before the Lord. And the scripture says in John chapter 12, in verse 28, Father, glorify your name, Jesus says. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Now, as far as we know, Saul is the only one that was saved on this Damascus road. He was the only one blinded by the light. He was the only one who understood the message. Just like in John chapter 12, not everybody heard what God was speaking. Not everybody understood. Paul later said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. But Saul, as he confesses Christ, his life is over as he knows it. All of his friends are gone that he had before. His career is ended. And he's going to find himself lonely. And many know what loneliness is like. It is the dread of seeing nightfall and feeling captive in your own home. It's getting into bed and struggling to go to sleep because your heart is aching. And loneliness is a hard place to be. And what do we do about it? Well, as believers, we start dealing with loneliness through prayer. Verse 7 and 8 of Acts chapter 9 says, And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, so he's blind. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. One of the things that he does is he begins to pray. And as he prays, he's drawn closer to the Lord. We need to deal with loneliness by praying, because usually loneliness is when you're dealing with a traumatic situation. Something traumatic has happened that has caused that loneliness, whether it be death or divorce or moving to a new community. Your life has changed, and as a result, you're dealing with loneliness. And our Lord understands. In John chapter 16 and verse 32, he said, Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. So Jesus says, I know what's coming, and you all are going to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I am not alone because the Father is with me. And we need to recognize that the Father is with us. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, the Father is with us. And we need to remember that. Instead of focusing on what is lost, we need to remember what we still have. We still have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father is with us. Charles Stanley wrote in his book, The Source of My Strength, "You simply cannot be alone once you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You can experience a tormenting feeling of emptiness, fear, or desperation. You can feel alone even though you're not alone. These feelings are subject to what you can do about them. You can let your feelings drive you away from the Lord and experience less intimacy with Him, or you can let these feelings drive you toward the Lord to an even greater intimacy." So again, when you're lonely and you're dealing with those feelings of, you know, I'm just struggling here, I'm so alone, those feelings can drive you away from God, or you can let those feelings drive you toward the Lord. And I hope that through prayer, you will allow those feelings to drive you closer to the Lord. In John chapter 1, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So what Jesus is referring to in this passage of Scripture is Jacob's ladder. Remember the story of Jacob's ladder? It's recorded in Genesis 28. Let me sort of lay the story down for you. Jacob was kind of a sneaky kind of guy, and he deceived his father to steal his brother's blessing. Now, Jacob, he was more of a mama's boy, but Esau, he was a man's man, and you did not mess with Esau. And he had deceived his father, stolen Esau's blessing. So Esau comes to Jacob and says, "While Dad's alive, you're safe. When Dad dies, I'm going to kill you." They did not know when Dad was going to die. Dad could die at any time. And Jacob said, "I'm not hanging around here anymore." And so he flees. He flees for his life. And for the first time in his life, he's by himself. He's away from home. He's going toward a future, and he doesn't know what that future holds. And now, here it is nightfall, and he is, I imagine he is on a hilltop and he's trying to hide because bandits would find an individual moving alone. They were pretty easy prey. And I'm sure he's frightened as nighttime comes and he's alone, really for the first time in his life. But here is Jacob all alone, scared and frightened, and he dreams a dream. And it says in Genesis 28 and verse 12, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants." And then we skip down to verse 16. And it says, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.'" And many times the Lord is in the place where we are at, and we don't know it. because we're so focused on the things that leave us feeling isolated and alone that we don't realize the Lord is with us. And the message of Jacob's ladder is a message to Jacob. Jacob, I know you feel alone. I know you are feeling insecure. I know you're feeling afraid out here by yourself for the first time. But I am right here with you. The message of Jacob's ladder with the angels going up and down, God is saying to Jacob, you're not alone. I am with you. And not only am I with you, but my angels are right here moving up and down beside you. And I want you to know that for every believer in Jesus Christ, there's a ladder. And that ladder goes right up from where we are to the presence of God. And when we realize there's a ladder with angels going up and down, that we're not alone because God is with us right at the top of the ladder, and we realize that God is smiling down upon us. Remember what Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's God's blessing in your life. That's God saying, I'm smiling down on you. I'm not frowning down. I'm smiling down on you. My blessing is with you. You may feel cursed. You may feel like you're alone. You may feel like life has turned against you, but I'm still smiling upon you, and I will bless you. And I hope that wherever you are, as you feel lonely, you will allow that loneliness not to drive you further from the Lord, but use prayer to allow that loneliness to drive you closer to the Lord. As you remember, there's a ladder right here, right beside my bed where I feel so lonely. There's a ladder. And that ladder, angels coming up and down, and that ladder, at the top of that ladder is God, and he's smiling down on me. You remember when you sit down and you eat a meal by yourself and you grow weary of eating by yourself. You remember, there's a ladder right here beside me. And on that ladder, the angels of God are going up and down. And at the top of the ladder, God is smiling down on me. So I hope that as you deal with loneliness, you will respond with prayer. Prayer that allows you to be drawn closer to the Lord instead of driven further from him. Let me read Acts chapter 9 and verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street straight, which is called straight, and inquire the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. He prays. Now, you know, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, it begins with Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter. And we know his life has changed because in chapter 9 and verse 11, we move from Saul breathing out threats and slaughter to Saul breathing out prayers. Saul breathing out prayers. And God answers his prayer. And that leads us to the second point. You need to pray. But one of the things you pray for is that God will send you some people. You see, Saul prays and God answers. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Pray, God, I am alone, but I pray you send me a friend. I pray you send me someone. I pray you help me to find people who will be important to me, who will fill my life. Saul prayed and God answered. You know, on the cross, as Jesus is dying on the cross, it says in John 19, verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. These two people, Mary and John, were about to lose some very important people. Mary was about to see her oldest son die, and John was about to see the best friend he ever had die. Now, he's going to rise from the dead 3 days later, but Jesus knows things won't be the same. And so he says to John, "Behold your mother," and to Mary, "Behold your son." Build relationships. There are relationships that can be built when we go through the losses of life. And those relationships need to be prayed for. God, help me to build relationships like this. Those relationships can be a relationships that have a tremendous impact on the other person's life. Maybe it's a neighbor you don't know very well, but you could be a person who becomes a dynamic Christian witness to them, a person who becomes a dear friend and part of the extended family. God can use a church family to reach individuals through individuals. And I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. One of the ladies in our church is named Michelle. And she had a co-worker who in her middle 40s had a massive heart attack. And then things went south while she was in the hospital, and she had to have part of her leg removed. And this lady was going through quite a bit of life-changing trauma. So Michelle came to the ladies in our church who do a prayer quilt ministry and said, "I would like to have a prayer quilt for my coworker." And of course the lady said yes. And so Michelle picked out a beautiful quilt, and it was displayed in front of the church, and we have a prayer of dedication for it at the end of the service, and people come up and say a prayer and tie a knot. And each knot represents a prayer spoken. So Michelle then took the prayer to the hospital, and as she went into the hospital room and explained what the quilt was, she laid the quilt on her friend, and her friend began to weep. She was so touched by this gift, this prayer quilt, that she began to weep. And her boyfriend was in the room as well, and he was not a man of faith, but he began to weep as well. You see, sometimes people are the ones who God sends up and down the ladder. And maybe you might be one of the people that God sends to someone else as a gift from heaven. A relationship is built that begins to change a life, that begins to change a family. People. Verse 9, it says in this passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 9, in verse 9, it says, "And he was there 3 days and three nights without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and said to him, and to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias,' he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.'" Here's the point. Paul prays, or Saul prays, and God answers and sends a certain disciple named Ananias. Did you notice he's not listed as having any official position? He's not the pastor, doesn't mention him as a deacon, just a certain disciple named Ananias. And that reminds us that God can use any one of us. God can use you, and God can use me. God can use any one of us, a certain disciple. And when God spoke to Ananias, if you notice what happened, he said, Ananias said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." He knew that it was the voice of the Lord speaking to him. It wasn't Mrs. Ananias. He wasn't hearing things. He knew it was the voice of the Lord. He said, "I am here, Lord." And the Lord in verse 11 says, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul." Go into the street, which is called Straight. Folks, Paul, or Saul, had been plowing against the will of God. He had been plowing crooked furrows, but now he is on the straight and narrow way. And so Ananias is told, go to the street called Straight. And notice the details here. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Now, Judas means praise. Ananias means the Lord is gracious. And so we can always give praise to God for his grace. And one of the things that I think we need to recognize is that behind all the great ministers whose names you know are people like Ananias, whose names you may not know, but without them they would not be known. People like Ananias make a real difference in this world. And we need to recognize that God can use you and I to make that kind of a difference. I want to read something to you that Warren Wiersbe wrote. He said, the hand of God pushed Saul from his high horse, but God used the hand of a man to bring Saul what he needed most. God spoke from heaven, but he also spoke through an obedient disciple who gave the message to Saul. The ordinary events were just as much a part of the miracle as the extraordinary. So folks, never